All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 26. Again, in verse 36. One of these is off. I don't know. Okay. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Help us, Lord, to find courage and faith and strength in you. Lord, again, we just ask your blessing upon us. So we open your word, Lord. Guide us, Father. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. We ask that you receive the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Think of a verse in Psalm. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. It was a time of great turmoil and trouble. And what I want to talk about this morning is that, you know, we see bad things happen sometimes, or corruption, evil around us, and most of the time that tends to discourage us. That tends to bring us down. Or we try to look at the situations, the things going on around us, and most of the time we are disappointed a lot of times whenever things go bad, or it appears that things are going to go bad. And our first reaction is disappointment, discouragement, hopelessness. But you know, if we look at what's going on around us and things go wrong or things go bad, instead of being discouraged about it, that should encourage us. You know, we look at troubles and trials and hardships and tribulations as something that's bad for us. But it's not. Those things are good for us. Hard lives, hard times build character and build strength. And so I want us just to kind of take an idea or think about things as whenever we see things going wrong, instead of getting all disappointed or upset and discouraged about it, look at it as a challenge. Look at it as an opportunity. Look forward to it as something that we can grow by, something that can draw us nearer to the Lord. You know, one of the things, we have so much prosperity and we enjoy it, and nothing wrong with it when things are going this way, but it tends to make us soft. It tends to weaken us. It tends to avert our attention to things that are really important. Even if the whole world collapsed and we were reduced to just having to live on a little patch of land and grow food for ourselves and just take care of basic needs, like history has always basically had to do. Throughout history, man spent 90% of his time in survival mode, just trying to prepare for the next meal or the next winter that they had to struggle through, just to keep themselves warm, just to keep themselves cold, or just to keep themselves warm, keep themselves fed, keep themselves clothed. We live in a time where that is not even in, that's not 5% of our concern. But yet, throughout history, it's 90% of the concern. But the thing about it is, we can still have the Lord in all of that. We can still have fellowship in all of that. We can still have everything we need in all of that. And those times are what builds men. Those times are what builds strong women. Those times are what brings us towards godliness. And that's, just want to talk about those things this morning to encourage us that it's not the good times that make us great. It's the hard times that make great people, great men, people that depend on the Lord and trust in the Lord. The good times, the prosperous times make us soft, make us weak. We need that friction, just like a grinding wheel, an axe or a knife needs a hard stone to keep it sharp. That's what we need. It's good for us. And while we live in times of prosperity and goodness, we can't forget that that doesn't mean it's good for us. And so that's what I want to kind of instill in us to have the thought about this morning. In verse 36 of Matthew, it says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here and here while I go over there and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.' And he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done.' Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrayed me is at hand.'" This is before the cross. This is people had Jesus, they had it welcomed him into the city, crying hosannas, and the people had conspired against him and turned the people against him. And the same crowd, a lot of them that were crying praise him, were shouting crucify him a few days later. Just the fickleness of the mob, the crowd. Well, the people who trusted in him, had hope in him, had the idea that he was going to usher in the new kingdom right then. That everything was going to be wonderful. That he was just going to raise up an army to just overpower the Roman soldiers, and the city of Israel, the country of Israel, would be that shining light and that shining hill that had been promised them. They thought they were going to rule the earth in righteousness, and they were just waiting, hoping that the Messiah had finally come. And that their idea was that they've been watching for him. Their idea and their promise was that he was going to come and usher in this new kingdom where God would reign on the earth. They had their hopes set on that. And then these things began to happen. And here, the night before the crucifixion, Jesus knew what was coming, knew what was going to happen. The disciples were still hoping somehow that he was going to just pull it around and just really lead this nation into the kingdom of God, just usher it in. And so he asked them, he said, just keep and pray, watch and pray. And he went off and he began to pray by himself. And the Lord, he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, take this cup from me. What, I don't want to do this." And the battle within his own soul was, do I accept this as the Lord's will for my life, or do I just want my will to happen? And he prayed, "Lord, if it's possible, take this from me. But if not, thy will be done. Thy will be done." He came back and his disciples were all asleep. They hadn't been praying for him. They hadn't been watching. They were asleep. They were tired. I think of that often, that how disappointing that is. Jesus trying to give these people everything they need, and they drop the ball. They're asleep. He wakes them up, charges them again, and goes and prays again. Same prayer. "Lord, take this away from me if you can." But he comes to the finds the resolve in his soul, the rest and peace in his soul, to where he can say, "Not thy will, but thine be done." There's such peace and rest in that, if we can get to that place in our lives. Thy will be done. Circumstances can't bother us anymore. The sword can't bother us anymore. The cross can't bother us anymore, because our resolve is, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Jesus comes back again, his disciples, fast asleep. You know, one of the things that, you know, that I don't like, that is depressing to me in this world or in whatever, is leaving something on the table. I don't know if you understand that term, but to leave something on the table. Have an opportunity. Have something that's laid out before us, and then we just miss it. Step over it. Waste it. You know, we are fortunate in this country. There's people that have paved a way for us to have what we have in this country. The liberty we have, the freedom we have, that was paved by someone else, sometimes in blood. And when you look at what's happening today sometimes, and you see that after people have sacrificed so much for freedoms, just to watch people throw their freedoms away, throw their liberty away, just for a little bit of security for themselves. And it's just, that kind of thing is revolting to us. Just to see the prices that have been paid for us to have what we have, and then people just throwing it away. People fighting against those kind of things. And it's really discouraging sometimes. But then we think about the Lord and what He's done and what He's provided for us and the open door He's given us. Not just us, but the whole world. We can look around and we see the opportunities that the world are just squandering. This great sacrifice that God has provided for us. And how much the door is wide open. The Bible talks about, "I left an open door." You would not. You know, and how discouraging that would be to God. "I've given them everything, and they've wasted it." You know, we're a people that, we don't like waste. Even things we ought to throw away, we're a little reluctant to sometimes, because we don't like to throw them away because it's a waste. Just kind of in a lot of us. And how big a struggle it is to see something go to waste. We just have to think about how the Lord might think when He looks upon us. At all the things that we just waste. Not material things, but the spiritual blessings that He has for us, that He has in store for us, that the door's open for us. We just waste them and count them as little of nothing. The opportunities we have to rest in Him, and we'd rather squander them worrying. The opportunities we have to have peace in Him, and they're spent in turmoil, wanting some other plan than what the Lord wants. Thy will be done. There's such power in that. You know, Jesus, this night before, struggled till blood, sweat drops of blood, in this battle of surrendering His will to the Lord. But in the next day, whenever they came to carry Him away, He didn't fight them. I can just imagine, even while they're nailing His hands and His feet, slapping that crown of thorns, I can just imagine a rest and a peace on His countenance while all those things are happening. You know, a normal man would be fighting and kicking and struggling and just have to be beat into submission before you'd ever submit to someone doing this to you. But I can just imagine a countenance of peace. A rest. As they're doing these things to Him. Knowing the tragedy that they're bringing upon themselves. You know, we see people, we want good things for everyone. And we see them, a path for them, a way for them. And people just fighting and going against it the other way. Knowing that it's going to bring bad things upon them. And it hurts. It's discouraging. It's disappointing. We would love to see everyone live in peace. But then people just doing things that you know are going to bring the opposite. It's hard for us to accept those things. Jesus went through that same struggle. And the way He found courage and resolve to go through it was submitting it to the Lord. Thy will be done. Lord, yes, we would like to see things happen that turn out right. We would love to see things happen where justice and righteousness would prevail. But if it don't, is that going to ruin our day? If it don't, is it going to just make us sick and bitter and angry? Or are we going to get to a place where we say, this is in the Lord's hands. This is the Lord's will. And instead of getting disappointed about it, get excited about it. This is the Lord's will. This time in our world, this time in our nation, this time in our lives, the Lord is in control. And we can be excited about the Lord's will. These people, they thought a new kingdom was coming in. And the next day, they were all sitting around crying, moping, hiding. Because the hope of their kingdom had just died. So they sat around for 3 days lamenting, crying. Why couldn't it have been? Why couldn't it have been? I think if they would have stayed up all night, instead of saying, why couldn't it have been, They could have been saying, praise the Lord, he's in control still of everything. We don't see anybody in that condition in these disciples. Thy will be done. If their prayer would have been with the Lord's prayer, thy will be done, how great a testimony that would have been right here. Look what was left on the table. Because they thought they saw a better way. They were trusting in a better way. And that can be the same with us. We can mope and be discouraged about things that are going on. You know, the Bible says in Romans that it's God that appoints our leaders. Those that rule over us, it's the Lord. We love the freedom we've been given by leaders. Once in a while, find one that'll give you some freedom, that love that freedom. But if we don't have a leader like that, it's because God put the one in there that we need, that we wanted. You know, people kind of get after us because we don't vote. We don't get too involved in these things. We don't get involved and be in political things and run for office and try to change the world that way. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. It doesn't matter what kind of leader we have. If the nation is full of wickedness and corruption and sin, it needs healed. And one or two good men trying to change that are not going to do it. We can support them, we can pray for them, but it's the nation that needs to turn back to God, not just the politics. And when the nation turns back to God, he will heal the land. I mean, look right down here, the baseball fields. Whenever I was growing up, it was a scandal for them to have a baseball on a Wednesday night because everybody was in church at prayer meeting. Now you probably can't even drive in the parking lot here at the baseball diamonds and the softball fields on Sunday morning because they're all playing ball, playing a game. Kind of hard for the Lord to bless a nation that cares more about a stupid ball game than even assembling together in the least way that's towards holiness. Even the most liberal church together that comes together and spends a few minutes to praise the Lord brings him much more honor than just completely forgetting him altogether and ignoring him. And we can criticize and not like some of the doctrines that some of these churches teach and how far off they are from actually following Jesus, but there's still some goodness in there. There's still at least an hour or two a week that they can come together. Their minds may be elsewhere, but they've at least sacrificed a little bit of their time just to honor a God in heaven. How can we expect and how can we even hope that he'd just rain his blessings on us whenever the world could care less that there's a God? All they want's what they can get out of it. We're the salt of the earth, the Bible says. You are the salt of the earth. All we can do is be exactly what He wants us to be. We can be surrendered to the Lord's will in prosperity and poverty. We can have the same courage and the same hope and the same rest and the same peace. On the night that before Jesus dies, the day after Jesus dies, and the day He rises from the dead are all in the Lord's will. And it looks like a roller coaster if we follow our emotions on something like that. But it's all the Lord's will. And if we're in that little area of the Lord's will, whether it looks like tragedy looming, whether it's assured that tragedy has happened, or whether that it's miracle of miracles, He's risen from the dead. You can just be steady, knowing that it's all in the Lord's hands, and Thy will be done. While the world goes up and down, good, evil, fight, all around us. Don't matter really what happens. If it's all in the Lord's hands, and if it's all in the Lord's will, and our will is submitted to Him. Oh Lord, that is a blessing. Amen.